You know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We are your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network, and we're brought to you by BetOnline, your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at BetOnline, and it's always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. So head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, as we kick off Thanksgiving week here on the show, it is extremely appropriate that I say Happy National Stuffing Day to you.
Happy National Stuffing Day to you as well. Talk to me. Talk to me about... when's the last time you had stuffing?
I had it today.
Oh, you did. I had it yesterday.
When you say today and I say yesterday, do we really mean Sunday, November 20th?
We're both talking about Sunday, November 20th. Yes.
Yeah, I had Christ. It. Out of the bird, cooked into turkey. You know, one of three Thanksgivings this week. We had the first one on Sunday afternoon. And, there was stuffing and we celebrated.
Likewise, I had a brunch Thanksgiving on Sunday. So we had ham, we had the pineapple bake, we had the stuffing, we had a couple other casserole-style dishes. So RIP the sodium this week, but you got to win some to lose some. And I'm willing to lose some this week, all things considered. So.
Shout out to Chris Schubert. The streak is intact. What is this? Four in a row, something like that.
Three in a row.
Three shows in a row, but barely.
But my guy hanging
on by a thread. I'm pretty sure he's got an IV in right now.
I don't feel well, folks. I am fighting.
And it's not because of the Jets.
No,
the Jets don't help.
No, but it has nothing to do with that. I'm sick separately of that, and I've got no energy, but I'm here fighting on, keeping the streak alive, so here we are.
Well, Chris, we're glad to have you, and I know the entire Draft Dudes community is sending you their absolute best so that you can get back on the horse ASAP.
I'm sure that's what they're doing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Joe, we gotta talk about some dudes.
Yep.
From the weekend that was. Really excited to see what you cooked up. I know I got some good ones.
Why do you say it like that?
No, it's just I'm always interested to see what your right. You're in Charlotte. I'm outside of Philadelphia, uh-huh. So we're not together on game weekends,
right?
I want to know what your viewing experience was like. I want to know what caught your eye, because I'm on my own little island here on the show. Chris is in Phoenix, or
we know I'm not texting anybody all weekend.
No. No, I know better. I texted Chris during the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. I knew better than to text you, because I just texted you to talk about your favorite subject, hey, which is James Lofton.
It was me and James Lofton.
It took you 6 hours to get back to me. I know he didn't have replays for you to watch, so I don't know why it took so long to review and get back to me. But
I got one guy that will be unsurprising, and maybe two that you'll be surprised that I say.
Okay.
Shall we? Do you want me to go first?
Give me a dude. Give me a dude.
All right, I'll give you a dude. They're in no particular order. I've got two NFL dudes and one college dude. We will start with my one of my NFL dudes, and his name is my running back, Tony Pollard.
My guy.
Spot Rec, you're going to have to update the market value, folks, because we got a star here. 6 catches for 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. 15 rushes for 80 yards, handing the Vikings an L. 40-3 win for Dallas. And, you know, Dak had a nice game, but, man, it was really kind of about Tony Pollard and what he gave this team as a runner and a receiver. Of course, Zeke Elliott snipes the 2 rushing touchdowns. So congrats to fantasy owners that put him in their lineups this week. But in a big NFC game, right, this is one that'll probably have some implications when it comes to tiebreakers and seedings. The Cowboys made a statement, a big-time statement, and so did Tony Pollard, who just – you watch him play. Like, there's something about the way this guy is when he has the ball in his hands. He hits the hole with convictions. He catches it. He's explosive. He is just a dude, right? And so I felt really good about this performance coming on the heels of some of the conversations we've had this week, even on this podcast, talking about his market value and the free agency conversation. And – I don't know what Dallas is going to do, but I don't feel like you can let this guy get out of your building.
Yeah, man, he was electric. And hat tip to Dallas for finding the secret sauce to beat the Vikings, which is just keep your foot on their throat for 60 Jeez. Minutes with the pass rush that Dallas had. I mean, that they really took over that football game. And that in turn allowed Tony Pollard to do the things that Tony Pollard does, right? Because, you know, the recipe, run the ball. And when you get up on top and you're looking to kill a team, they have the ability to run the ball and really kill the clock the way that they did.
Well, and I know that there's no silver linings here for Minnesota. You lost 40-3, but if you could understand the value of Christian Darrisaw, you know, him not being available in this game and the consistent harassment that, you know, Kirk Cousins was under, sacked 7 times, hit a billion more times, Christian Darrisaw would have helped in this football game. 13 quarterback hits and 7 sacks. The guy dropped back to pass 23 times. Woo!
So it was Parsons. It was DeMarcus Lawrence.
Dorrance Armstrong.
It was Fowler. It was the whole gang. Everybody got in on the party, and a lot of it came cascading in off the left-hand side in the absence of Christian Darrisaw. So I love your point there, Joe, that like if you're a Minnesota fan and you're looking for things to take away from this game, it's the value of your first-round pick from last year and how impactful they are when he's on the football field. So I think that's a good call. I have a dude who, if I had a vote, and I don't, I want to be abundantly clear, I don't, but if I had a vote, this guy would probably get my first place Heisman vote. I mean, it's not the name that you have written down on the card. Joe just held up a card. Were you worried about an overlap of dudes here?
Nope, left them on a table for you. I left them on the table, well, so pivot if you need to.
I don't need to, because I'm going to talk about Caleb Williams.
Oh,
the quarterback at USC.
Yep.
The 10-1 USC Trojans, their only loss being that like big time 43-42 collapse or whatever it was to Utah when they were up big early in the game and Utah just kind of went nuts. But Caleb Williams, they lost Travis Dye. They get Mario Addison. Jeez, they get Jordan Addison back, and he has just been on a tear the past month. And you're out here and you're watching the throws, and that's what it is for me that really moves the needle. We saw this in the film study that we did. Chris, I think you were on this one, but we watched the season opener against, I think, Rice.
That is correct. Yes.
And he had a throw in that game where he was flushed off his spot and he was rolling to his left. And he's kind of across his body. And he has this snappy release. And he gets so much velocity when he's on a dead sprint away from his throwing side. And he did it again against UCLA. And I just have such an appreciation for the ability to throw the football that he has. And I think he can really get a lot more polished at some of the timing components of playing the position. And I think he can even lean into his athleticism more and be more quick at times to tuck the ball and run. So you're sitting here and you're looking at all this production for Caleb Williams and how phenomenal he's been and how dynamic he's been. And you walk away from the tape, it's like, man, he's got all this talent. He's capable of doing all these incredible things, all these incredible throws. And it still feels like he's just scratching the surface of what he's capable of doing. And I have an appreciation for his impact on the Trojans program. Obviously, we've seen what USC has looked like the last couple of years. And obviously, Lincoln Riley's come in there, but he brought Caleb Williams with him. And he has this team in the thick of the college football playoff, whether you like it or not. You know, obviously, you know, you're going to get a team in the top four that loses next weekend when Michigan and Ohio State play each other. Tennessee just went down. USC came into the weekend seventh. They beat the 16th team in the country. They're going to have a say down the stretch, depending on how things go. And there's make no mistake, Caleb Williams has carried the Trojans the past month or so. And because of that, he'd have my Heisman vote right now if I had a vote, and he's one of my dudes this week.
Obviously not draft eligible till next year, but we don't always get the opportunity to meet all the top quarterbacks, but we did Caleb Williams at QB Retreat and got to spend some time with him. And the skill set's pretty exciting, but so is the guy, right? Like just getting a chance to speak with him. There's really no doubt about him being able to be a real leader and somebody you'd be really proud of as the face of your franchise. So, good chance, Mr. Williams. There is the total package, and if I didn't write down the name that I did, I would have written down Caleb Williams because I felt that coming from you, and that was a well deserved shout out. My next dude, coincidentally, former teammate of Mr. Caleb Williams, his backup quarterback last year. That's right, Spencer Rattler. What in the world, guys? 63 points against Tennessee. They beat him 63-38. Spencer Rattler's 30 of 47 for 438 yards and 6 touchdowns. Folks, Spencer Rattler has averaged under 200 passing yards per game this year. 198 entering this game. 8 touchdowns on the season. 9 interceptions on the season. My guy goes in and lights up the Vols for 438 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, 63 points, the most ever allowed by Tennessee in an SEC game. Folks, South Carolina didn't top 300 total yards in 3 of their last 4 games. I don't know what happened with Spencer Rattler on Saturday night, but my guy made throw after throw after throw against Tennessee to the tune of 6 touchdowns and 63 points. Just an absolutely insane performance. I think he said after the game that he didn't feel like he could miss. Like he was just in a zone. He couldn't miss, and it was just a special night for him. It was one of the best offensive games I've ever seen from a football team, and you just didn't expect it given how really just mediocre, below average The Gamecocks have been on offense all season long. Also, a little side dude here, Jaheim Bell. How about this guy? He's a tight end. He had 17 rushes for 82 yards in this game. Led the team. Also had two receiving touchdowns on five catches. So this was at least part of what I think South Carolina was hoping for when Spencer Rattler became their quarterback. I guess better late than never, but just an all-time performance for Spencer Rattler against Tennessee, burying the Volunteers' college football playoff aspirations.
Can we pour one out for Rocky Top?
Yeah, what I mean, just
I'm like big mad man
because the social media thing.
No.
Oh, you're just mad just, about the Vols.
Yeah, okay. The team that is such a fun football team. Josh Heupel sucks us in. We're a couple of goofballs. Oh yeah. They can do it. They can really do it. How do you defend this offense? Well, you score 63 points.
38 points. If you told me come on, 38 points should have been enough to beat South Carolina, right?
Well, all right, I'm going to do the thing. Make sure I pound the keys so everybody can appreciate that I am indeed doing something right now. So just give me a second.
Pour one out for Hendon Hooker, by the way. Torn ACL, man.
That was part of it that really ticked me off after the game was to find out that Hendon Hooker had that kind of injury. Like, that just, it stinks, man. That's
so unfortunate. Tillman's back for the game. You know, he's making an early impact. They're like, okay, they're going to be just fine. They couldn't stop him. Jeremy Banks must be like he was the guy on defense that Tennessee was missing, their Mike linebacker. And I mean, I don't know if it's that easy as saying Jeremy Banks is the difference, but man, that defense hadn't looked this bad all year.
Okay, so I didn't anticipate South Carolina was going to put 56 up on Charlotte. Because I was going to ask when the last time was.
Okay,
South
the
Carolina 2-9
Charlotte 49ers that fired their coach already.
And then they put up 50 on South Carolina State.
Okay.
So like their previous high against Power 5 competition was they put 30 on Arkansas and A&M this year. And they more than doubled that against Tennessee.
63
points. So, yeah, that happened. Pouring out for Rocky Top. Obviously, it's a bummer. We were fans of what they were working with over there, and then the wheels fell off the bus, and life goes on. And, Joe, if I had to ask you right now, obviously this is not part of, like, the scheduled programming, but what does your college football playoff look like right now?
This will be the first time I've thought of it right here, this moment.
So you'll have Georgia, right? We could do it together.
Georgia. The winner of Michigan and Ohio State.
Do you think the loser still gets in?
What happens with TCU?
They'll get in.
So they're,
if they, it, I mean, they got one more, obviously one more to play and then the Big 12 championship, but right now the AP top 25 is Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, USC, and then LSU at 9-2.
No,
Kyle is boxing out Clemson.
If USC wins out, they're in for me over the loser of Ohio State and Michigan. So I'll go USC, TCU, Georgia, and
winner of Ohio State.
Winner of Ohio State. Not in that order, but those four teams.
So USC, they have number 18 Notre Dame next weekend. So this is two top 20 games to close the season and then the Pac-12 championship
game. Yeah, they will have earned it.
They will have earned it. TCU, to close the regular season, has Iowa State. That's at home.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's a chaotic game. Just kind of based off everything TCU has done throughout the entirety of the season this year. And then they would have the Big 12 championship game. The loser of Ohio State Michigan will not be in the conference championship. This is the de facto conference championship. And then the winner of this game has the right to go play Iowa?
Right. Just don't get hurt.
Man, if you told me that USC loses one of the next two, I'd almost rather lose Ohio State, Michigan. Wouldn't you rather lose the game and not have to go play the extra game in the conference championship?
Well,
If you knew that you were going to get in?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the same proposition you gave the Georgia fans last year at the SEC championship game when we went down and said, okay, I could tell you right now, I guarantee that you lose the SEC championship game to Bama, but then you win the national championship.
None of them took it.
Nobody wanted to take that.
Nobody wanted it.
No, we don't want the national championship. We don't want the guaranteed national championship. We'd rather just try to beat Alabama. Yeah.
That was so crazy to me. I gave it to like multiple people.
Yeah, they're selfish, right? They want to have their cake and eat it too. They don't want to have to compromise.
Nothing in football can ever be assumed, ever.
All right. You want another one of my dudes?
Yes.
I'm going to go off a little bit for us, for a guy who was a brand guy for us. This is a wide receiver at the NFL level. 5 receptions for 102 yards and a touchdown on Sunday. Chris Olave. One of my dudes.
Take it.
He hit the 52-yarder up over the top. Looked very familiar to the big catch that he hit against Clemson in the college football playoffs in the same stadium. So that was kind of fun. He had the kind of that deep post that Fields hit him with. Mm-hmm. He had what looked like the very same exact performance. And he was targeted 6 times, caught 5 passes, over 20 yards a catch. The translation's been there, and he gives them a dynamic that, in spite of the struggles, obviously the Saints are now 4-7, having beaten the Rams, and they're kind of buried down in there. And if they're going to make the playoffs, they pretty much have to win the rest of the games. And it's safe to say that's not going to happen after they have lost 3 of their last 5. The Arizona, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh being the losses. But for Chris Olave to be the selection that he was, and for the thought process be he's going to be your 4th option in the offense, right? You got Mike Thomas, you got Alvin Kamara, you got Jarvis Landry, and then Olave's probably your 4. What option is he in this offense?
Olave?
Yeah, like the 1B. He's way ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
And he's still.
That's a good way to put it right there.
He is way ahead of schedule, and he is performing way above expectations for a guy who was supposed to struggle with press on the outside in the NFL. And I know that doesn't really surprise us because we were huge fans of his game.
Yeah.
Right?
For like 2 years.
Right. But there was right. And that was the whole, you know, I see a lot of Devontae Smith in Chris Olave's game. But Chris is a little bit of a bigger player than Devontae Smith is. And Devontae Smith's been an excellent pro for the Philadelphia Eagles. Shout out the Eagles. They squeaked that out against the Colts and helped us avoid eating some really nasty tasting crow for Jeff Saturday if he'd have started 2-0, based on our reaction to that news, along with everybody else. But, no, he's averaging like 15 yards a catch this season. He's doing all the things that he did at Ohio State. And it's translating immediately in spite of him being exponentially higher in the list of targets for New Orleans than where he was scheduled to be when they came into the season. And, oh, by the way, he's doing it with the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
It's been a phenomenal year for him. And it's kind of lost in the fact that the Saints are 4-7 and they've underwhelmed versus, well, they hit playoff expectations. And that's a bummer. But Chris Olave deserves his flowers for his individual performance in the Saints offense because he's performing to the upper tier of what we thought that he was capable of right away.
Yeah, very excited about Chris Olave and for things to stabilize with the Saints and allowing him to really just continue to mature and become a really, really high caliber playmaker. Big time start for him. And we were fans, but there were some critics out there, man, like, for sure. So good to see him coming through for us. My last dude, every once in a while, I'll throw a self-serving dude in there, and this is going to be one of those times. Bills linebacker Matt Milano, good football player, guys.
Do you have 20 tackles in the first half?
Well, he had 12 in the game, so not quite, but
he was close.
He was terrific against Cleveland. Game the Bills need to have, obviously losing the last 2 games. And the game started very much how you feared it would. Bills looking very sluggish, and you worried about the dynamics of the week that they had and the snowstorm and all that. But Matt Milano recovered a fumble, and it changed the entire game. And I'm not sure that, you know, it was an unforced fumble, but Matt was able to get on it, a mishandled exchange on the snap, and he recovered the ball. But he just made a lot of plays. 12 tackles, 3 for loss, a sack to go with the fumble recovery. And, you know, Nick Chubb had 14 rushes for 19 yards in this game. And I was very afraid of playing against Nick Chubb and him just being able to kind of snatch the Bills' soul. And that didn't happen or even come close to it. And I think Matt Milano deserves a lot of credit for that. And he's playing at a high level. And I think he's been a good player since he's been to the Bills. And I, you know, I'd love to see him starting to get some more recognition. So allow that to begin with me, with Matt Milano being one of my dudes this week.
I get another dude. I think you guys will enjoy this one. Big Dan Campbell. One of my dudes.
Oh, Kyle week. Is doubling down. All right. Go ahead.
Big Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions went to the Big Apple and took a big old bite out of the New York Football Giants.
New Jersey.
Final score, 31-18, 31 points for the third time in 4 games. They're moving the ball. They got DJ Chark back this week, but it's still the Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamal Williams show. They're playing physical up front. They held Saquon Barkley to 1.5 yards per carry in this game. Daniel Jones led the team in rushing. Aiden Hutchinson and Kirby Joseph, a couple of rookies, with interceptions of Daniel Jones. And the Detroit Lions are magically riding a 3-game win streak. We all blinked, and the Lions are 4-6. They got the Bills on Thursday night. It's at home. Okay, sure. Jeff Okuda already ruled out, sounds like, concussion protocol, so that's not great for the Bills. But hear me out. They got the Jaguars left on the schedule. They got the Panthers left on the schedule. They got the Bears left on the schedule. We're some winnable games out here. Left to be had.
Killing me right now.
The momentum is real. And the 4-6 Detroit Lions, Joe, are in second place in the NFC North right now. This was a team 3 weeks ago, after the owner had to come out 4 weeks ago and give the old pep talk to the media ahead of playing the Dolphins, and we believe and we're doing this and that. Well, they came out like gangbusters against the Dolphins and then didn't. They got shut out in the second half and lost, and all they did was they beat the Packers. They held on against the Bears on the road. They beat the Giants on the road. Couple of tough, gritty wins for this team. This was the most complete performance yet of the season for my money. Dan Campbell, they're buying into the culture. They might have a corner to turn here. And if they beat Jacksonville, Carolina, and Chicago, and if they find a way to steal one more, you're looking at an 8-win football team for the Detroit Lions. And our Lions can be back. And Dan Campbell hanging on by a thread there. Looked pretty ugly a couple weeks ago.
Can't do this.
But they righted the ship. And they're now riding a 3-game win streak. And I raise my glass to Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions for their effort in doing so. There you go, Chris. Cheers.
I am just in legitimate fear that you just tanked the season for him. It was the kiss of death. The Kyle Krabs buy-in here.
It's house money. We know they're going to lose to Buffalo.
Oh, you don't say that.
We know they're going to lose to Buffalo.
No, we don't know that.
Then they got home, Jacksonville and Minnesota, at Jets, at Panthers, home against the Bears and at Packers to close the season. I think they get at least 7.
Is that okay? All right.
And I think when we did season prediction, we had them at like 8.
Yeah.
We had them at 8, and they were like, oh, do we bump them up? Do we get them to 9, get them in the playoffs? Like, Detroit's got, like, a legit chance here to be playing meaningful football around Christmas.
I've watched every Lions game this year, not the Giants yet. I will at some point this week. I've been very complimentary of the Lions all year long.
But
they just didn't always win games. They got a lot of good stuff going on, man. That's what I keep saying. It's like, guys, there's good stuff going on here with this offensive scheme. They got a lot of young talent on defense. Yep. It's got to come together.
We're going to get some of these wide receivers back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad they don't have J-Mo.
Soon.
Yeah, December. What can you realistically expect, though? You know what I mean? Like,
give me a couple shots down the field per game.
Right, but I mean, like,
get more spacing for St.
Yeah, the reps is going to be big. Yeah, I understand that, but like the reps will be big for him. But like, I'm excited for him next year. We'll see what the team looks like. I mean, I want it for him. I want it, but now I'm scared that you tanked him.
Well, if I tanked them, you're welcome, because their next team is the Buffalo Bills.
We'll see. Short week, their place, the Bills' second home, the dome away from home.
Jeez, is that a t-shirt yet?
Well, we've had to play there twice now because of snowstorms, right?
Right. Is that a t-shirt yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay, I think we should get on that one.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, you wrote a mock draft. I haven't seen it yet. This will be the first time.
Yeah, I guess we're going to go for it. It is in a little bit of flux. Right? We're recording this Sunday night. It drops at halftime of Sunday Night Football. Sunday Night Football is getting ready to kick here in just a couple minutes to let everybody in, like Draft Dudes behind the music here. But yeah, let's go off of it with what's down. I know based off of like the Minnesota-Dallas outcome, that wasn't going to change anything for me. So I don't think the 4 o'clock games are going to throw any crazy change ups in the order. So we should be fairly good to read through here. I had Cincinnati out in front and beating Pittsburgh. So we're good on that front. So yeah, let's go ahead and take the journey together. Let's do it.
All right. I have it on my screen so I can just see the first eight picks.
Yep. And any individual team fits with players that really pop to you. Let's just talk about that.
Can I ask you this?
Yes.
What you have just at number one, you have the Houston Texans picking CJ Stroud, a perfectly reasonable pick. Just curious how you landed there. Like, why was that the quarterback for that team with that pick? Not being critical, just legitimately curious how
taking,
you got
it. Taking from the commentary, Stroud has the best mix of physical traits and attributes and production. He is the most direct projection to the NFL, and because of that, he is the choice for the Texans.
Okay, got it. All right. I should read the commentary. I would have known.
Yeah. You know, it's like reading the article, right? Always send the angry tweet before you actually read the article.
I don't take exception with any of these fits, Kyle. I think the one that makes the most sense to me is Tyree Wilson to Seattle, right? It's
perfect.
Yeah, it's their kind of guy through and through. All the traits in the world. Need a player like that in Seattle. So big fan of that selection. I'm guessing some of the order of this is having to do with the fluctuations in the results, right?
Right. Like Pittsburgh losing dropped them a couple spots. The Raiders were picking two.
Right.
And then they won, so they bumped to four. But like it is what it is. It's Stroud to the Texans, it's Bryce Young to the Panthers, it's Skoronski to the Bears. Is that early? Yes. But like they don't have a wide receiver that's a slam dunk home run. So I'm gonna give him a player I think is the best fit. And then you get Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson as the next two picks.
Man,
I do genuinely think Tyree Wilson is a better fit for Seattle than Jalen Carter is. Carter's pretty scheme diverse, but
yeah,
if you want to have guys that can really play physical, but it can also reset the line of scrimmage and can stack blocks, like it's Tyree Wilson's game. So he's at five to Seattle, and that might feel high, but I think he's earned it with his play this year to be in that stratosphere of a top eight pick. I mean, he's played excellent.
All right, I'm ready to look at the next eight. All right. This is real-time reactions. Oh, gosh, I like these receiver fits.
Thank you.
Jordan Addison to the Jaguars, perfect. Quentin Johnson to the Packers, perfect. Brian Breesie to the Eagles, what a dream. It's a nice batch of picks here. I like these. All these corners go to good spots, too. Got a run on corners here with Christian Gonzalez, Joey Porter, Keely Ringo, and Cam Smith. Wow, half of these picks. 9 through 17 are corners, and I think they're good values to situations that make a whole lot of sense to me. Man, yes.
So
I love this.
So we were very trench heavy in the first eight. We went QB, yep. QB, O-line, D-line, 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 O-line, top eight. Then it was wide receiver, D-line, wide receiver, corner, corner, quarterback, corner, corner for the top 16. And it's like Cam Smith to the Commanders. He was excellent against Tennessee. Keely Ringo to Atlanta. You think about, you know, obviously he's a local product. They're going to know him really well. You mix him with the current existing talent, and I think you suddenly have a little bit more well-rounded group, especially when you think about the NFC South and the wide receivers they're going to have to cover. Christian Gonzalez is CB1 for me right now, and he went off at 12 to Arizona, and Joey Porter right behind him. I think both of those guys, just from a ball production standpoint this year, have been a little bit better than Ringo, and that was enough for me in the lexicon of like really big, long, physical, athletic corners. Kind of went in the order in which I felt like they were illustrating complete games. And I do think Gonzalez is a little more fluid than Joey Porter is as well. So that was a deciding factor for the order in which the corners came off the board.
I think it's perfect. I'm a little sad that I think I've seen three offensive tackles off the board, and my guy Broderick Jones isn't one of them.
He's coming.
He's coming. All right. Ready to do
now.
It? Oh, he's coming.
Yeah, he's literally the next pick.
The next pick.
Paris Johnson and the Chargers, and then Broderick Jones. And the only reason, and I said this in the commentary, so always read the commentary. The only reason Paris Johnson came off in front of Broderick Jones is the Chargers have a need at right tackle. And Paris Johnson's played on the right side of the line.
Okay.
He's played right guard and left tackle. So therefore, you feel comfortable about him playing in a right-handed stance as compared to Broderick Jones.
Ah. Okay, got the next eight loaded up here.
It's a weird stretch.
Well, it's this class in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I'm digesting here. I'm digesting. okay, so I want to hear from you on some of this. DeJuan Jones, offensive tackle from Ohio State, number 20 to Denver. I don't hate it, but this is a newer name, right, for this area of the conversation.
I hate it. This was the last pick I made. Like, I literally skipped it and made 21 through 31 and then said, is there any name here that I would want to move up and give to Denver instead? And it's like, no.
I love Brian Branch as a football player. Is this thinking about kind of expiring contracts at safety for the Jets?
Well,
at 24.
Well, and just real quick on DeJuan Jones too. The other name I had penciled in here was Jalen Duncan, and this is not reactionary to just Jalen Duncan against Ohio State, but he has largely struggled with speed off the edge all year long. And I think we probably need to confront our priors on Jalen Duncan as a player that we really liked at TDN and like ask ourselves the hard question. And like, I can see him kind of falling into the Nicholas Petit-Frere bucket as a guy who has the length, has the measurables, but it's just not quite all together yet. And as a result of that, he's probably a day two pick. But Jalen Duncan was originally in that spot that DeJuan Jones went to at 20.
You have three offensive weapons going here. Rashee Rice, the Bills, 24. Bijan Robinson to the Ravens at 25. Mm. You know they ain't letting them get past them. There's no way, right? They're just that team that's going to pull the trigger.
It was too perfect.
Right. It's like, oh, yeah, the Ravens did the Ravens thing that they always do. And then Jalin Hyatt, everything that the Tennessee Titans would love to have at wide receiver right now. So,
And then Michael Mayer right behind that at Dallas, well, 27.
Then I'd have to scroll down one more to see that.
Just tying the whole thought that you had together.
This is a nice little stretch here. Nice. I knew you were going to give the Bills a receiver. And thank you. I will take Mr. Rice here at 24.
Yeah, he's a good player. He has the Joe Marino stamp of approval and endorsement as a football player, not necessarily through a Bills-specific lens, but like last week we were on the TDM Premium Discord and we talked a little bit about the Bills offense and we talked about the backs and we talked about the wide receivers behind Stephon Diggs and kind of had some observations about Gabe Davis. So, you know, just kind of picking your brain through that, I'm like, okay, like I'm more comfortable picking more skill players for Buffalo than what I think I was before that conversation. Just getting some perspective on the team. And I don't think there's a good scheme fit that you could take at left guard right now and fill in for Roger Saffold. Like Osiris Torrence goes in the first round of this mock draft, but it's not, I don't really see that as a good fit for Buffalo with his body type and skill set. So I passed on that. John Michael Schmitz was already off the board. He came off at what was it, 21 to Seattle? Yeah. So, just looking for more explosive weapons in that offense. And obviously James Cook had a nice game for the Bills on Sunday against the Browns. So you like to see that. You're encouraged by that for James Cook and getting a little more athletic production in the backfield. But yeah, I really like this fit. And you mentioned Jalin Hyatt to Tennessee. I love that specific fit for the sense of this is a run heavy offense. So you're going to get more 8-man boxes. You're going to get more middle of the field close coverage as safeties try and roll the safety down. And the play action shot plays that are built into that on the perimeter to take shots down the field is a really nice mix. And I really love that fit.
All right, here we go. Chris,
question.
I just have a question for Kyle.
He's alive. I want to make sure we give him a chance here.
Can Brian Branch throw the football? Can he play the quarterback position?
Chris, I hate to tell you this. You've already won too many games to have a serious conversation about who that you would pick.
You hate to see it.
Anthony Richardson.
I was kind of on the fence with putting a fourth QB in here. I ultimately did not.
Kyle, if you dropped a mock draft today that had the Jets picking a quarterback in the first round, man, rest in peace.
No, I don't think Jets fans would be the ones that would be mad at me.
Really?
Did you watch?
I also watched Zach Wilson 2 weeks ago play winning football against a good Bills defense.
Yeah, he played winning football against the Patriots, too. He didn't turn the ball over. And you know what they did? They coached for overtime 3-3 when they had the ball on the 35-yard line with a minute left in timeouts. And they're running inside zone out of shotgun in a 2-minute offense situation because they don't trust their quarterback to throw a forward pass. It was pathetic to watch. And I'm sorry, ball don't lie, but like karma came and got you with the punt that lost you the football game for the way that you handled the end of game situation. If you don't trust your quarterback that bad, you need to do something to give him a chance or you shouldn't be playing him, period.
All right. In an alternate mock draft, Jets fan, you can have Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson. If you want to pencil him in, go Cam Ward's out there, you know, plenty of names.
Can I scroll?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So it's like not really the back eight anymore. It's the back two, four, six, I guess somehow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Seven or four. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you got the 20. You got the 26, and then I added in Mayer. So there should only be four surprise picks.
You know, Kyle.
By the way, we're adding a second round this week.
I hate you for that because that means I have to do.
Well,
a
you know,
round
that was
week.
My instructions that were given to me by my supervisor in content. So you don't got to be mad at me for that. I'm not doing that.
All right, appreciate that. Okay. I like some of this.
Yeah.
Osiris Torrance for the Giants. Big fan of that pick. Devin Witherspoon to
the Vikings,
Minnesota. That's probably a contingency for Pat Pete. Because, right? I mean, that's got to be your thinking there, right? Like, for moving on there.
And I'm still optimistic on Andrew Booth, but, like, yeah. Cowboys went at him pretty hard on Sunday.
Yeah.
But you get excited about a couple of physical corners who can tackle like Booth can and Witherspoon long term. It's a pretty exciting mix.
Gibbs to the Chiefs. Clark Phillips to the Eagles. There is something about Clark Phillips that is going to make you not care that he's 5'10", 170 pounds, right? Like, he's just,
yeah,
he's a ball player, right? Just he takes away the ball. He's really athletic and smart in coverage. And, like, yeah, he has some moments where you're like, yeah, you're small and you struggled, but, man, he competes. I don't hate you for putting him here at the end of this first round.
Man, I loved getting Philly a corner and a defensive lineman. Obviously, the Eagles went out this week and they signed Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh to try and add to the offensive line. So obviously it's on their mind that they need some depth there. So giving them Brian Brzee with that pick that came courtesy of the New Orleans Saints, which at the start of the weekend was penciled in to be a top five pick and would have been Jalen Carter, but the Saints won. So Eagles fans, if you don't like Brzee and you would have liked Carter, you can make sure that you thank dude this week, Chris Olave, for that. And then you get Phillips, and I'd have given him Witherspoon if I found somebody else from Minnesota that I would have really felt good about.
Yeah.
And I would have been really excited about Brzee and Witherspoon, but Phillips kind of the next man down. Obviously Bradbury's still in a 1-year deal. So I thought that was a more appropriate Howie Roseman type approach to first round draft selections. And the icing on the cake was that both the running backs were off the board when they picked, so it wasn't even a temptation for me to pick a running back, even though, you know, I think that can be an upgrade opportunity for them.
Who's the name that's missing here?
Originally
no linebackers, right? No linebackers.
No linebackers. So Trenton Simpson
and
Henry To'o and Noah Sewell were all left off.
Sewell.
Antonio Johnson was left off from A&M. Yeah. He was a name that was originally in. I originally had Isaiah Foskey off, and he found his way in as kind of the order kept updating throughout the day on Sunday. Jalen Duncan, we've already mentioned, but I kind of went into the thought process there.
Yeah.
That fourth quarterback, whoever that is for you, for most people, it's Anthony Richardson. Those were the names that really popped to me. I mean, I guess you could invoke the names like Kayshon Boutte and Jackson Smith and Jigba if you wanted to. Darnell Washington got left off.
Yeah. This tight end class is deep, man. Like, I'm really liking more and more of, like, the day two options.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about Darnell Washington is, like, he's 270 pounds and he blocks like it. So you're getting, like, a legit blocker, which is not why you're drafting any tight end in the first round. But he does have the receiving skill, but, like, does he have enough of that? You know,
right. I agree with you.
Especially when Mayer gets to 27, right? Now you're like, well.
Now you got another 25 picks before you're probably talking about the next tight end.
And I like that I think we've been on a run of tight ends to the Chargers, and, like, okay, that's great, but they need a tackle. And maybe it's as simple as they get Slater back and Sawyer plays the other side. I'd have to look at their other contracts because I don't know if any of those guys on the inside are up soon, but I get it. I do. Maybe so. I don't know. It's interesting what they could do there. You can't just mock a tight end to the Chargers for 6 months. You know what I mean? That's kind of crazy.
Right. And I've done it the last two times. So I said, okay, let's get a new name in here and mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Happy with how it came out, though.
Yeah,
you do.
It's good mock. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's going to do it for us to hear today on Draft Dudes. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, the ghost of Chris Schubert, still floating around producing this thing. So we hope he gets his IVs and his fluid, and we'll see him with all of you tomorrow.
Chris, I look like a ghost.
He's got his, I wish you could all see it. He's got his hood up right now. You could tell he's a little pale. He's feeling it a little bit. Yeah.
Not looking good.
A little worse for the wear, but
so we're going to go. Tea.
We're going to let him get out of here. Thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show as well. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com. Or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.